We give a great deal of thought to the guest speaker at graduation because this is an important occasion, and this is our last chance to impact you, very last words. And we love you, and we want the last words to be you here to be the words to challenge you in your walk for Christ. This year we'll have Dr. Pittman. This is Dr. Pittman 2.0 version, not the original. I know new versions are supposed to be upgrades, but there's not data out there to support that. So, Dr. Jeremy Pittman spent his adult life, as you know, serving on the mission field in Uganda by starting churches, many churches, and operating the Sorority Orphanage Assistant Project we call SOAP with his wife Mandy. I think they've been there 14 years. He's a veteran missionary. He has a great heart for young people. I mean, he took this task very seriously. I know that he wants to speak to you. He has three graduate degrees, a master's in biblical exposition, a master's in educational administration, and a master's in educational leadership. And he also has a doctorate of letters, and he's also working on a doctorate in education. And very soon he'll be the associate pastor here. And he's also a school parent. I think it's the first time we've ever had a school parent actually speak at graduation. But more importantly, Dr. Pittman has a heart for young people. He wants to see young people live successful Christian lives. That's not just rhetoric. That's his life. So it's a privilege to have Dr. Jeremy Pittman speak to us today.
Thank you, Dr. Pittman. Thank you. I would like to thank Dr. Dalton and everyone. It's such a privilege. I never thought I would have this opportunity. And it's a privilege to be in Christian education. I hope that you as students recognize the privilege it is that we have in this country to be free and to attend schools like this. And I wanted to just say congratulations to you because this is a big achievement. I had a few orphans 3 days ago come to me. I was in Uganda 3 days ago. And right now it's 3 o'clock in the morning, Ugandan time. So I'm going to keep this short. And if I fall asleep before you do, you know, just to wake me up. But I had them come up to me and I had them tell me it was a humbling experience. They came to me and just said, thank you for teaching us. And I said, what are you talking about, guys? And they said, well, you took us in when we were 6, 7 years old. And now they're graduating. And they're going on to successful careers, and they're about to finish their academics. And, you know, that's something that they lost their parents at a very young age. And they've overcome so much in the past 12, 13 years. And sometimes those are things that we just take for granted, our moms and our dad, our mom and our dad. We can take for granted the ability, the privilege it is to come to a school like this. It's not a right, it's a privilege. And I just want to thank all the teachers, all the parents who've invested for your children to come here. I want to tell you thank you for doing that. Today, I would just like to read a few simple verses and just have three quick applications. And I know when my dad says quick, sometimes that has a different definition. But I'm going to try to keep this quick. Colossians chapter 3, I am moving right along with that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 says this. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, this is the Apostle Paul, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You know, the backdrop to this passage in Colossians, the Roman Empire was vast. It was wide ranging. And this church in Colossae is only about 10 miles away. Colossae is basically Turkey today. The city is located now in the country of Turkey. And if you look at some of these places, and I've had the privilege to visit to probably, I guess, about 25 different countries now. And I've been able to go to some of these places and see different sites. And the Roman Empire was vast and wide. And Paul wrote this letter to the church. And it was a time when there was an accepted place called an arena or an amphitheater or a coliseum. And for those of you that know a little bit about church history, there's been a lot of bad things that have happened to Christians in those arenas, in those amphitheaters, and in those coliseums. I've been able to visit three of them. And you know, today you begin a new arena in your life. It's a place where people are going to look at you and they might judge you. But as Noah eloquently put, I want you to stay focused on the course at hand. My desire tonight is just to share with you three simple things. I'd like you to see in verse 6 to be persistent in your walk with Christ. No matter what anything else, and I can just kind of block out everyone else in the room right now, but you six, I'd like to focus on you. Because tonight, you must realize it's incumbent upon you that you walk with Christ, number one. Be persistent in your walk with Christ. We're going to look in verse 8 to be prepared in your work for Christ. All of you have something God wants you to do. And make no mistake, you're the only one that can do what God's called you to do. So be prepared in the work, and we're going to see how to do that. And then I want you to be persevering in your witness. You know, I remember studying the 56th, as we were talking about history and the different subjects, Mrs. Grant, I had no idea you taught that unique subject that was mentioned earlier. But I remember in American history, we looked at the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. And you look at what happened to those men after they signed that declaration. You think of men like Jonathan Witherspoon, who he signed that document knowing that this could be the end of our life. This could be the end of our hopes, of our dreams. And yet he was the one who said, let all education be subservient to the cross. And tonight, your education needs to be subservient to the cross. Don't let things, education, take you out of the bounds of walking with the Lord every day. President Theodore Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have where you are. And I've often told our orphans that. They didn't know it came from President Roosevelt. They think it comes from me, but I don't tell them that. I just say, look, do what you can with what you have where you are. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what God's given you, because God knows those tools. God has planned you, God knows you, and God has the best intentions for your life. I think it's interesting here when Paul says, for though I be absent in the flesh. Paul was writing this letter from prison and was absent from these Colossian believers. You know, your parents and teachers aren't going to be with you at this next step at college. Hopefully they're not going to write you letters from prison, I give you that. But the Apostle Paul was completely absent from these believers. And yet he had a burden for them. You know, I want you to understand tonight that as teachers, I'm speaking on behalf of the teachers. I'm not a teacher, but I know they have a great burden for you. And they're going to be praying for you. Your parents are praying for you. So understand tonight that as you leave here with this diploma, that even though your parents are absent in the flesh when you go out, they have a great love for you. Don't disappoint your parents. Don't disappoint your teachers. I've seen many students come out of many different institutions. And just a few years down the road, they make people drop their head when you say their name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor. You know what? You can have that. All of you have a good name right now. Don't spoil it. But more importantly, don't spoil the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm often reminded to be persistent in your walk with him, you have to make it a priority. It's the first priority above everything else. So you must make it that every morning. Don't let life get you too busy. That's going to be something that happens at college. There, people are going to say, oh, I'm too busy. I have to get up early. No, the first thing you have to do is you have to spend time in this book. Oftentimes when people go on vacation, they take a vacation from this book. Aren't you glad God doesn't take a vacation from us ever? But don't forget, you're going to college not to just gain and amass knowledge. You're going there to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And you can do that. But it's completely contingent on how much you're going to be in God's word. If you are to be persistent in anything in your life, I've told Mike and Michaela and Malachi didn't understand it yet, but I tell them, look, if you're going to do anything, if you're going to do anything every day, the rest of your life, make it be this book. Make this book your best friend. Many people think, well, that's just simple thinking. No, the Bible is our life. People have given their lives so that we can have it. I've had people walk 2 days to get a copy of the Bible in Uganda. If we're not real careful, you'll take this book for granted over the next 4 years. Make this your life. Make this something you read in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, when you lie down, when you rise up. As parents, we're supposed to teach it to our children often. You know, I'm thankful that we can walk with him. I'd ask you today, he talks about in chapter 1 and verse 10 that we might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. And I just ask you real quickly to walk worthy. This is pleasing the Lord with our conduct. One quickly learns that if you try to please others, you're going to have difficulty pleasing men sometimes, especially if they're unbelievers. And some of you might be going to places where there's unbelievers. Make sure you please Christ first. This verse is not expressing that we should be walking worthy for our salvation. It's talking about walking worthy of the name that we've been given. We can never walk worthy enough in salvation. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, I'm thankful that you have a Bible and that we tonight, you can make a decision tonight to put your total faith and total trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says to be fruitful in every good work. You know, there's a lot of works you can do, but I'm just reminding you, be persistent in your walk with him. I've often thought of how many times we take the Bible for granted. President Ulysses S. Grant said, "To the influence of this book, we are indebted for all the progress made in true civilization. And to the Bible, we must look to as our guide in the future." Be prepared, not only in your walk with him, but be prepared in your work for him. He says four words here real quick. He says to be rooted and built up. In Uganda, we've had a terrible famine. I was only there for about 10 days this last time, but I got to, at times when I've been there over the last year, I've gone to the Nile River. And there's a place there where it's very barren. And I noticed that the grass was brown and crunchy underneath you when you walk on it, and you could see the dust coming up. And it reminded me of the Dust Bowls back in the 1920s and 30s. I think my dad remembers those times. I just hear him tell stories about it. But, you know, the grass would be plucked up and it would roll. And I was amazed as I sat there and I talked to some of our nationals and I said, "Why are these trees so green?" And they looked at us and he looked at me like I was a big dummy. And which, you know, I kind of said, okay. He looked at me, he goes, "Look at the water." I said, "Oh, that's the Nile River." You know, the only difference, the grass didn't have enough roots to get down to the Nile River water. But those trees had a heavy, heavy root system. In this verse, he says, be rooted. You know, you're going to go as far as your roots go. If your roots can go down, when the famine of life, when the storms of life come, I could see trees knocked over that had a shallow root system. You know, tonight, you don't have to have a shallow root system. Be in this book. How do you work for God? Make sure your roots are strong. Make sure that you're established. He says here, built up. It means to build yourself up. You know, you should have some academic goals. You should have some things you want to accomplish for God. President Eisenhower said, "Accomplishment will prove to be a journey, not a destination." Accomplishment is attained over time through our journey in this life, but it takes great focus. Let me ask you this question. What are you focused on tonight? Are you focused on things that are going to make an eternal difference? I notice in verse 8, we can be persevering in our witness. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, perseverance is a rare commodity. In this generation especially, you six can be different. You can be the people who, and I like to tell my children this, I don't care if everybody in the world does wrong. You be the one to do right. You six, if Jesus said with his disciples, he could, you know, people said the 12 turned the world upside down. You know what you six can do? Tonight, it takes a determination and a desire to persevere no matter what happens in your life. But that perseverance comes from Christ. It's been said that failure is not always a mistake. It may simply be the best one can do under the circumstances. The real mistake is to never try. And you know, tonight, there's some things you might be scared to try. Don't be scared of trying. Don't be scared of failing. John Rockefeller said this, "I don't think there is any other quality so essential to success of any kind as the quality of perseverance. Perseverance can overcome almost everything." The Bible says in verse 7, he talks about being abounding in thanksgiving. You know, most people at your college have not seen kids that abound in thanksgiving. Most people are not persevering in that. Be purposeful. Don't just be a participant. We need you to be passionate and daily prepared in your walk, in your work, in your witness. You have a bright future, but only as that pertains to Jesus Christ. It's been said, you know, many times that when we are in this life, and I think I've realized this more as my mom has gone home to be with the Lord, but I've realized that only when life will soon be past and only what's done for Christ will last. And I often think of my mom and the things that she's taught me. And I just want you to understand, you guys are special to the people on this stage. You're special to the people in this auditorium. But you can make a difference for Jesus Christ. Almost 100 years ago, President Theodore Roosevelt spoke of a man in the arena and delivered these words. And tonight, I just bought these for each one of you because I want you to keep it. And I mean, I don't care what you do. You could use it for a door holder. You could use it for a lot of different things. But this has always been a special thing that I've had in my life. And I just want to read it to you. It's from President Theodore Roosevelt. He said, "It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. It belongs to the man who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do these deeds? Who knows great enthusiasm, who knows great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, and who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid people who neither know victory nor defeat." You know, tonight, I would ask you this. Monica, remember, it's not the critic who counts. As he said here at the beginning, Christ is the only one that matters. If you please him, then you will hear well done. And I hope that'll be an encouragement to your heart. Josh, I appreciate you always. Josh has always had such a humble spirit, and I've always been able to talk to Josh about a lot of different things. And I don't want you to worry about when the strong man stumbles. Just remember, Jesus will help you, and you have Christ to walk alongside you every step of the way. There you go, Josh. Noah, remember, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Remember what God has called you to do, and follow him to guide you to the next arena. I wrote your name on there. I'm sorry. I'm just peeling off the names so I don't. Layla, I said it right, didn't I? The first time. No. Remember to strive valiantly, as there is not effort without error. Christ will help you. Just keep trusting him. There you go. Chris, my fellow Manchester United fan. Remember to strive to do great deeds. Be the one who knows great enthusiasm and great devotion. Zach, be the one who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows the triumph of high achievement. I appreciate you. Tonight, as we look at Colossians and we think of all those men in that arena, and as I think of President Roosevelt, he says, "If at your worst you fail, at least you failed while doing great things for Christ." You know, you will do great things for him if your walk is with Christ. If your work is for him and you persevere when others quit. Tonight, you graduates, attempt great things for God in this new arena of your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be people who are not afraid to fail, but Father, who are willing to do whatever you ask us to do. Father, I pray that we would be persistent in our walk with you. Father, that we would adhere to your word. Father, that we would be prepared in our work for you. And Lord, that we would be persevering in our witness. Father, that we wouldn't let people, as it says in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit." Father, I pray that you would give us graduates, Lord, who go from this place and who make a difference for Jesus Christ, and Lord, who make a difference in eternity. Lord, we're thankful for the parents who are here tonight. We're thankful for the grandparents, for the relatives. Father, I pray that you would encourage their hearts. Lord, we pray that you would bless us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.